WRJN AccuWeather forecast. Mostly cloudy today with a bit of snow during the afternoon, high 27. Little snow tonight mixing with sleet and freezing rain, low 24, then temperatures rising into the low 30s. Tomorrow mostly cloudy, breezy, and becoming milder. Periods of snow, sleet, and freezing rain in the morning, followed by a bit of snow or rain in the afternoon. High temperature 38. Wednesday cloudy with a couple of showers in the afternoon, high 37. Ice at night. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Good times, EA. Good times. Right now we have cloudy conditions throughout southeast Wisconsin. It's 23 in Kenosha, 21 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 23 at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN, 23 degrees. The wind is out of the southwest at 8 miles an hour, producing a wind chill index. I'm happy to report a 14 above zero. The dew point is at 14 as well. The relative humidity, 68%. And the barometric pressure is steady eddy at 30.26. It is 11 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin for, thank God, it's Monday, the only January 9th, 2017 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great week.
Now that your picture's in the paper being perfectly admired, you can have it, the one that you have ever desired. All you gotta tell me now is why, why.
Led Zeppelin and Jimmy Page on your radio, friend. A whole lot of love for a thank God it's Monday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life. All wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable package. Glenn Klein on a thank God it's Monday morning, January 9th. It is Jimmy Page's birthday today. He is 73 years old. And still out there doing his thing. He's not that quite old, but he is the veteran state assemblyman from the mighty 66th District. Please welcome back to Community Conversations, Representative Corey Mason. Good morning, Representative Mason.
Good morning. Thank you for not confusing me for a 73-year-old. That's generous of you.
How old are you?
I am going to be 44 this month.
Henry Aaron.
Yeah, good number.
Pete Maravich. Anthony Rizzo.
Wow, you can just roll them off.
Who else is a good number 44? Leroy Kelly of your Cleveland Browns.
Not mine.
Who's 44 was for the Packers. I could totally picture him.
Oh, I should know.
Running back.
Hard to beat Hank Aaron for a number, though.
That's very true. Do you like my new flag adorning the deluxe WRJN studios? The Chicago Cubs winning W flag?
I think it's long overdue, and I think there's a lot of Cubs fans who never thought they would live to see this, who finally did.
See what I got here?
Yeah.
Got my Cubs World Series sweater on.
I know, you're excited.
My dad grew up 2 L-stops away from Wrigley Field.
Oh, wow.
Huge Cubs fan. He's going to be 80 next month.
So did you go to a lot of games as a kid? A
lot of games. And while I was in the suburbs, my mom would drop me off at the Skokie Swift, and we would take the L. You talk about how times have changed. I'm when I'm 12, 13 years old, like dropping the kids off at the mall today.
Wow.
Have a nice day, honey, at the Cubs game. And we used to go down to Wrigley Field, 5,000 people at the ballpark. They used to close off the upper grandstand because there was nobody there.
Right.
And we would just run around the ballpark getting foul balls.
Wow. Different times.
Isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my dad and my godfather, they would talk like, we're not going to see this. We're not going to see the Cubs win a World Series.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, and so many times they'd gotten close and you know,
they've never gotten close.
Well, made it to the playoffs.
They made it to the playoffs a few times.
Right. Right.
And then just disaster would hit. And it looked like it was going to happen again.
It did.
In Game 7 in Cleveland.
It did.
And it didn't happen this time.
It did not.
Yeah. And so on Saturday night, the MLB Network was running a documentary called Joy in Wrigleyville.
Oh, I bet.
And you see these people who feel the way I do, but even maybe more so. I mean, bawling their eyes out. Yeah. And this one guy came from, I want to say, Indiana. No, he was living in Georgia. He came to Indiana to his dad's gravesite and watched the game because he promised his dad that he would watch the Cubs win the World Series together. And then his dad died.
Yeah.
So he took a TV or, just a little device and watched the game with his dad, just him at the gravesite.
No, absolutely. I mean, there was somebody put a meme out, but, a number of Cubs fans celebrating in heaven sort of thing, right? The people who waited their whole lives and even beyond. But, you said you're 80-year-old father, is that right?
Yes.
I mean, he lived his whole life waiting for this, right? I mean, never been an opportunity to...
The last time the Cubs were in the World Series, my dad was 8.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
And didn't win it.
Right. It's a long wait. It's a long wait.
So. Well, we might not have to wait for another year till the Packers win the Super Bowl. They looked great yesterday.
They looked, especially the second half. The first quarter and a good chunk of the second quarter, I was really nervous about. I mean, the Giants seem to have a way in postseason...
Against the Packers, especially.
They really do. But, was it the last 2.5 minutes of the second quarter, they suddenly came alive and scored 14 points. And then the second quarter just looked like a completely different matchup.
And I renamed the Hail Mary finally. We're just going to call it an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his ability to throw the ball up there and have it come down in a way that it's actually catchable.
Catchable, and the players can get underneath it. And
yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You're a Catholic, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, so I was talking to our award-winning news director, Tom Carco, about this earlier this morning. I think calling it a Hail Mary is really disrespectful to Catholics. Because it's like, we have no other choice. I mean, people, you guys don't do Hail Marys out of desperation. That's like a sacred thing, isn't it?
I mean, it's part of the rosary, and it's quicker than the Our Father, right? So if you got to get one out really quickly, it's the Hail Mary, right? So,
but a prayer's not supposed to be just out of desperation, is it?
Oh, sure.
Really?
I think prayers can come in all kinds of forms and places and at times. And sure, I think oftentimes we pray when we are feeling the most vulnerable and the most desperate and the most... concerned about where things are. I mean, with the understanding that, look, I don't think we should pray in such a way where we think that God cares about one team in sports more than another. Like, I don't sort of...
What are you talking about?
Do that.
He clearly cares about the Packers more than any other team.
I do.
God's team. We're playing America's team, but we're God's team.
There you go. There you go.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's a good story. I would stick to it.
But what do you think the G stands for?
Sure. Right. I was the Green Bay, but go figure. But, yeah, it's, I think people do that all the time. But I don't take offense from the Hail Mary.
You don't?
I don't. And I think the Catholic League and some of the other groups that are out there that are pretty sensitive about that stuff would have said something a long time ago if they had.
Well, that's why I am the color analyst for life. Only I would point this out.
Fair enough. It's become part of our vernacular for so long, though. I haven't thought about it. But if I had to guess, I mean, really, the Hail Mary is much quicker than the Our Father. So if you got to get one out really quick. There's a great bit that George Carlin did on this years ago about the, which prayer do you say if you're falling off a truck or whatever? And so definitely the Hail Mary. And if you don't even have time for that, it's just, amen. Hail Mary and amen all put together. But
the Hail Mary did not work for Fredo and the Godfather.
It did not.
That's the last thing that he said before Michael took his revenge.
The end of part two.
I always wondered, did you think that they dumped Fredo into the lake?
That's the assumption, isn't it?
That's what you would... that was the implication.
Right.
You would infer that. But right. Then the Corleone compound is there, so Fredo's in the lake for the rest of time. I don't think that's what they would have done. Maybe
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know that they actually thought that through.
These are the things I think about.
Yeah.
He is Corey Mason. He thinks a lot about more significant things. He is the state representative of the mighty 66th district. here in Southeast Wisconsin. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversations. So speaking of prayers, does the Democratic Party have a prayer?
I think so. I mean, look, it is a time when we are at a low ebb in terms of the number of offices and seats that we hold.
This is the worst state that the Democratic Party has been in since 1928.
Yes.
That's not good.
No, it's not. It's not.
Why do you think that is?
I think there's a lot of reasons for it. You can, you know, sort of Monday morning quarterback a lot of things. But I also think going into it, the Republicans, while they control all the levers of government, it now means that they control all the levers of government. And I think that the Republicans are a better opposition party than they are a governing party. And they're about to have to do the tough work of actually governing. I mean, you're already seeing this with the rhetoric behind repealing Obamacare and the tough work of, well, what are you going to replace it with? Suddenly being much more difficult than any of them ever imagined. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But I think if you know, by the numbers, by the seats held by Republicans, it sort of looks like, wow, this is a high point of conservatism in America. But if you look at, you know, just Donald Trump's losing the popular vote but winning the Electoral College, if you look at his high unpopularity numbers and this discussion about a foreign power interacting with our elections, I don't think he's coming in on a real strong footing.
But that doesn't answer the question, sir.
And what is the question?
The question is, why have the Democrats lost 1,000 seats since Barack Obama became president in state legislatures? Why do the Republicans now have a unified government going in to this new congressional session on January 20th once Trump is in office? This is dramatic. I mean, he's going to be able to appoint maybe two or three Supreme Court justices. This is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
What has happened to the Democratic Party of Harry Truman and John F. Kennedy and Scoop Jackson and Daniel Patrick Moynihan that it is strictly almost a bi-coastal party?
So three of those four people were dead before I was born. So just say that. But
this is when the Democrats were in the majority.
It hasn't been that long since we were in the majority. It has not been.
Where are the Tip O'Neills?
Fair enough. But, you know, it's a fair question. But I will say this. I mean, I think you saw some of this discussion when Speaker Pelosi was running for re-election. You had Tim Ryan from Ohio saying, hey, we got to be a working class party.
Yes. How about that?
Right.
And who won? Nancy Pelosi.
She did. But I also think that the people who felt strongly about having a more grassroots working class party are still very much engaged in embracing that piece of the party's legacy in a way that we didn't before. And I think the experiment that the Clinton legacy left, which was to be a center left, almost conservative Democrat and governing from the middle approach is not sustainable long term. And I think what people are looking for is two things. More than anything, I think people are looking for authenticity. They just want to feel like the person that they're looking at to represent them is real and means what they say and does it. But I also think that they want to know that they're a real person who's actually looking out for someone like them, right? And somehow the Democrats have gotten away from the ability to communicate that to ordinary average Americans. I have conversations with some of my friends on the left all the time who will say, I just don't understand, because if you look at our policy prescriptions for people, they are far better served by policies under the Democrats than they are under Republicans, and we just don't understand why. And I think if you just go to the policy and don't figure out what it is that we're missing and why it is that we're not connecting with people, we're going to miss something. I mean, I think there's other big things, too. I think Citizens United comes into it. I think gerrymandering comes into it. I think, you know, by President Barack Obama's own admission with this interview with Stephanopoulos, he talked about, you know, working really hard on policy but neglecting the infrastructure of the party.
Well, I just think he was just making excuses.
But, well, say what you will. I do not think that we are a country that is as conservative as the people who now hold office.
No, but we're a country that values hard work and loves patriotism and loves the military and doesn't want a president going around and leading from behind or doing an apology tour. We're just getting started here, Representative Mazes.
You really think leading from behind is what has undone the Democratic Party?
No, I just named three or four things. When we come back, we will continue addressing them. We'll get on some local issues, too. He's one of our faves. He's Corey Mason from the Mighty 66. We will get back to Representative Mason after another potentially award-winning newscast from the great Tom Carco in 30 seconds.
Winter blahs setting in. Holiday hangover hitting your pocketbook a little.
WRJN AccuWeather forecast. We're going to be in a battle zone this week between cold air trying to hold on to our north and warm air surging into the south. For today, mostly cloudy, bit of snow this afternoon, high 27, a little snow tonight, mixing with sleet and freezing rain, so watch for slippery conditions, low 24, then temperatures rising. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and breezy, periods of snow, sleet, and freezing rain, changing to rain in the morning, but in the afternoon, there could be a bit of rain or wet snow continuing into the night, high 38, then falling. Wednesday, cloudy with a couple of snow showers in the afternoon, ice at night, high 37. Racky Weather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
It's 23 right now in Kenosha, 22 Burlington, Milwaukee 24, and Racine's at 24. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
Representative Mason drove through that sequoia.
Many years ago.
Well, that's 15 years ago now. A lot of people remember that.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Well.
But it was the storm that took it down. It is, because they usually can last, they said, maybe up to... What's going on there?
He wants to hear what you're saying. He doesn't have a headset on.
Some of those trees can last, say, 3,000 years. This one, you know, from the 1880s, according to what's documented here. But this was a storm that took it down.
So you're not saying that Representative Mason's drive-through 15 years ago led to the... he's been accusing me, Representative Mason, of just cherry-picking to make my points. But we'll get to that coming up after sports.
No, you don't do that.
No, I would never do that.
No.
So last night, the Blackhawks won, again, their third game in the row.
They played? Anybody pay attention?
Yes, I was watching.
Okay.
Ryan Hartman scored his first hat-trick of his career. And this is a very unusual hat-trick. First of all, the first goal he scored was when the net came off its moorings, and they counted it as a good goal. That almost never happens. Then his next two goals on his way to this hat trick, two empty netters, very unusual. And then NHL history was made the other night against my Tampa Bay Lightning, unfortunately, when the Nashville Predators second-year man Colton Sissons earned his first career hat trick. By the way, the Blackhawks beat the Preds, but this is the Predators beat the Lightning this night, a 6-1 game. Mm-hmm. This is the first time this has ever happened in NHL history. He was the first player to score his second of three goals in a game against an empty net, and then the third goal when the Lightning put the goalie back in. That had never happened before in the NHL.
Impressive.
It's always something in the NHL. Goofy bounces, this and that, you know, stuff happens.
You weren't watching the Blackhawks game?
No.
Yesterday? Yeah. What were you watching?
What time was it?
It was about 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Well, guess.
From Wisconsin Radio Network Sports, this is the Titletown Report. Now, with the latest from Lambeau, here's Bill Scott.
Aaron Rodgers says they haven't completed a Hail Mary in practice since week 4 or 5 of the season, but call the play in a game, and the Packers' success rate goes up.
It's fun. Every single time, it's fun. Yeah, I think we're starting to believe any time that ball goes up there, we got a chance. I can throw it pretty good, but it's got to happen on the other end as well. I was actually just watching it before I walked in here, and it looks like, as is the case many times in these situations, there's a little bit of a misjudging of the football by kind of the middle of the pack.
A little push in the back by Cobb helped too, but it put the Packers up 14-6 at the half. Then the offense rolled in the second. Aaron Rodgers throwing 4 touchdown passes. Cobb caught 3. It's on to the divisional playoffs this Sunday in Dallas. I'm Bill Scott. More from Titletown later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
Thank you, Billy. It is 18 minutes until 10 o'clock on your Thank God It's Monday Morning. This is Glenn Klein in the studio with State Representative Corey Mason of the Mighty 66th District. I'm telling you, no more Hail Marys.
No more Hail Marys? Oh, we're going to call them.
We're going to call them Aaron Rodgers from here on out.
But we should keep doing whatever we call those.
3 out of 5.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It was impressive.
He's pretty good.
He's one of the best. You know, I will confess, when Favre was at the end of his career, I was one of those people who was just like, we should let Favre play as long as he wants, you know. And
boy, so did I. I thought so, too.
But, boy, in hindsight, you know, best decision the Packers have made and probably since they brought Favre on initially, right? I mean, just to be, I mean, you think about the history of our team of having like 3 of the greatest quarterbacks of all times. we're pretty lucky. We're very fortunate.
It's Bart Starr's birthday today.
Is it really?
Not just Jimmy Page.
Wow. How old's Bart Starr?
How old do you think Bart Starr is?
82.
Very good. He's 83.
Oh, close.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're very lucky. I mean, I grew up in the Spartan Lynn Dickey years when we weren't also
Lynn Dickey years.
We weren't always so great. We always hoped for sort of a winning season, and if we could get that and maybe get into the playoffs, that'd be great. But you know, we've been very, very lucky for the last 20 years now to have two of the greatest quarterbacks, arguably in league history, leading the team.
Well, as a Democrat now, you are familiar with lean years.
I think we are going into some of the lean years, yes.
There's no doubt about that.
Did you just do a hat trick? Did you really?
What do they call those things? A rim shot.
Yeah, there you go. Very nice.
Thank you. Level of depression, politically speaking, 1 to 10 right now?
Personally, I'm past depression. I'm ready to resist and you know, be a voice against what the Republicans are talking about doing. I mean, I think very quickly this is going to turn on them. I mean, what Republicans do for good or ill is when they win elections, even if it's just by the tiniest of margins, they govern as though they just won a landslide election, right?
Well, it was an electoral college landslide.
It wasn't an electoral landslide. It was three states. That was not an electoral college landslide by any means. And, you know, I know Trump claimed that, and then he was rebuffed by PolitiFact for making such a statement. It wasn't a landslide. But for 70,000 votes in three states, you know, Hillary Clinton would seem like the most brilliant politician in America right now, right? But they're already talking about...
How depressed do you think she is?
I think she's got to be bummed.
She's coming to the inauguration, much to her credit.
Yep.
Now they want her to run for mayor of New York.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. I mean, look, de Blasio ran her U.S. Senate race years and years ago, right? I mean, they're pretty close. I don't think she's going to...
De Blasio. Another disaster. What is going on?
With de Blasio?
With the Democrats. Bill de Blasio.
Yes.
This is the mayor of New York City.
He is.
Yeah. What are you guys going to do? I'll tell you what I'll say. Here's what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't keep doing what you've been doing and expecting different results. That's insane.
Yes, I agree that that's true. Look, I mean, there's two things, and I said this last month, and I'll say it again. I mean, people have time, not much more time, but time to be upset, depressed, in a funk, if you're a Democrat, about the results of the November election. But we really don't have time to linger there much longer, right? I mean, I think, you know, you're going to see Trump get sworn in on the 20th, and then you're going to see a massive protest the very next day on the 21st with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people from across the country that are already in a position to protest what the Republicans are proposing, some of which is, you know, unprecedented, and some of it is sort of a laundry list of things that Republicans have always wanted to do. I don't know which concerns me more, what Donald Trump wants to do to the country or what Paul Ryan wants to do to the country, but either way, I think they're going to be very unpopular decisions, and they're going to have to live with the consequences of that, and should not at all be surprised that there is an organized and robust and ongoing resistance to what they're doing, which, despite all the campaign rhetoric, is going to put most American people in a worse place economically than they were before.
Tell that to the carrier air conditioning workers or the Ford workers that are going to get jobs that were getting moved to Mexico.
Right. It turns out that Trump really had little to nothing to do with.
Everything is about perception in politics.
It is.
And what has been the perception of President Barack Obama, who is going out personally popular?
Right.
His policies have been across the board rejected. You could talk about 70,000 votes for Hillary, but the fact of the matter is that there's only four states in the country where Democrats control the governor's mansion and the state legislature. Four, as opposed to close to 30 for the Republicans. Barack Obama, since he's been president, the Democrats have lost 1,000 of your colleagues, Democratic colleagues, in state legislative seats.
So, Glenn, this is what sometimes when I'm debating with people on the floor, we call hyperbole. But I don't think you can say, because the result of of legislative races around the country, that that is an indictment of, Barack Obama, or to quote you, a rejection of his policies across the board. I don't think that's what that is, right? And
it's not an endorsement.
If it were, he wouldn't have been reelected so handily in 2012.
But that's not how we elect presidents, and you know it. The way that we elect presidents is by who we want to go have a beer with. And even though Donald doesn't drink.
But we certainly don't elect presidents by letting state legislators from across the country unilaterally decide who it is, right? If it were, then you would have a point there. But
no, my point is across the board. Hillary was a horrible candidate. Trump was whatever Trump is. Obviously, Barack Obama was a better candidate than John McCain and Mitt Romney. Obviously, Bill Clinton was a better candidate than Ross Perot and George H.W. Bush and Bob Dole. George W. Bush was a better candidate than Al Gore and John Kerry. We always elect the guy or gal that we want to go have a cocktail with. It's not that sophisticated. So packaging is very important. And some decisions that Hillary made, for example, not coming to our state to campaign, that probably wasn't the best political strategic move.
Right.
But the bottom line is that the Democratic Party has less power right now than it has had since before the Great Depression.
That is true. And so I think that's why you're going to see people resisting and objecting and protesting in all kinds of corners of our country, from, you know, the main streets to Washington, D.C., to everywhere across the country. And it won't, believe me, very quickly, this will not just be a coastal city issue. When they start throwing people off of their health care and don't have a real plan to replace
But they're gonna have a plan. They have to have a plan. They're not idiots. They may be wrong, but they're not idiots.
Well, and so far, they've not yet provided one.
Well, they're not even in power yet.
But they've also said it's the very first thing that they want to do. That's a few weeks away.
Well, Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, said that he talked to Donald Trump, who Rand Paul's no fan of Donald Trump's, right. And Trump agrees with Rand Paul that when they repeal, they need to replace immediately. I think perception-wise, that's very smart.
If it comes to pass,
remember when Paul Ryan was Mitt Romney's running mate?
I do.
And the Democrats ran an ad with a Paul Ryan image pushing a grandmother off the cliff in a wheelchair.
I don't recall that.
Yes, anymore. Yeah. And remember last week when Nancy Pelosi, the old minority leader, and the emphasis on old for the Democratic Party, and the new Senate minority leader, Chuck Schumer, held a press conference. And their big slogan now is that the Republicans want to make America sick again.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad packaging. People see right through that stuff, and they know that the Republicans don't want to make America sick again. They know Nancy Pelosi said that your mother or your grandmother is going to have to live in the spare bedroom. The Republicans aren't about that, and it's even if they get some votes, which they clearly have not in enough numbers to not decimate them nationwide. It is bad politics, and if people that are on the left, whether it be in the media or in government or in the entertainment world, they've got to change their message.
Let me just stop you on one thing there.
Right.
Okay, if you take Paul Ryan at his word on what he wants to do to Medicare and Medicaid, set aside the Affordable Care Act altogether. He wants to block grant Medicaid and give people basically a voucher for their Medicare, which is going to put older Americans in much more jeopardy, both from a healthcare perspective and an economic security perspective. So what does that mean? Well, most people are in nursing homes or have their elder care taken care of by Medicaid. And all of a sudden that's block granted and there's a smaller and smaller pie every time. It is going to have real world consequences. And I would say that this is actually a real point of distinction between Democrats and Republicans and exactly the kind of thing that we ought to be talking about. But when you say Republicans just wouldn't do that, they're not like that. They're smart. They might be, you know.
No. Hold on. They might do exactly what you're suggesting Speaker Ryan wants to do, but they don't want to make people sick. They don't want to have dirty air and dirty water.
You can't have it both ways. You can't gut the laws that actually keep people healthy, give them economic security, keep them in the homes, and then say, wash your hands of it, and say...
Those laws don't keep people healthy?
Yes, they do.
They may give
people... Medicare doesn't keep old people healthy.
No, it gives them access to medical care sometimes, But I mean, what keeps...
So it's not access to health care that keeps people healthy.
It may or may not, depending on if they take their medicine. If I mean, there's all kinds of factors to individual people. But this is the problem. The Democrats have been making the case that the Republicans aren't just wrong. They're evil. Now, if you talk about hyperbole, this happened last night at the Golden Globes.
Before you move on to that, though, yeah. We're not... So what I think is missing from this is then this sort of... boo-hoo thing that Republicans do when you call them on the real-world consequences of their policies and say, oh, you're just saying you're evil or doing ad hominem tax. That's not what I said. I didn't attack Paul Ryan personally. I said there are very real-world consequences to what he's proposing.
But we don't know what those consequences are yet.
But if you we do know,
for example, that the Democratic Party's support of teacher unions across the board has resulted in a disastrous result for the public school system. We are lagging behind nations all over the planet. That's a real world consequence. But the Democrats won't come off of their support. They won't come up off of their opposition to school choice and vouchers and things that could really help people, especially in the inner city.
So in Sweden, the country that performs the highest amongst all K-12 in the world on independent standards, is the most unionized teachers union on the planet. So this completely false narrative,
Representative Mason, we're not Sweden.
We are not. But this argument that
we're not Western Europe. We don't want to be Western Europe. We left Western Europe.
Let me finish. So this argument that it is teachers unions that is leading to the challenges in public schools and not the biggest cuts that we've seen in decades.
We spend more money per capita on students than any country in the world, with worse results because teacher unions don't want to be judged based on their performance.
I hate to tell you this, but Republicans have had their way on all these talking points. Act 10 has all but decimated the teachers unions. They've gotten their way on vouchers and charters. And guess what? It's not closing the achievement gap. It's not making the public schools better. You know what would make them better? If we did what the Wisconsin Constitution required us to do. Now, was adequately fund our schools so that every kid gets a good education. And that's what we're not doing, and that's what Republicans are falling short on. So I don't think that Republicans hate school-age children, but I do think that they're falling short on their politics and their commitments and their moral commitment to teach our kids. And that's what the politics are going to be about moving forward.
He's Corey Mason. He's a state representative from Wisconsin's mighty 66th district. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation for a thank God it's Monday morning. And we're getting going in a major way right off the bat for the week. Here's another way that the liberals and the progressives in this country, the Democrats, the people that supported Hillary Clinton, that support general Democratic, with a big D, policies, they should just keep to themselves if they are in an industry like athletics, professional sports. Colin Kaepernick has hurt his cause by doing what he did. I really believe that one of the reasons that the NFL ratings are down this year is because of the attention that he received for disrespecting the national anthem. Last night on the Golden Globes, Meryl Streep, who I love, took her opportunity in being awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award to say this.
You, and all of us in this room really, belong to the most vilified segments in American society right now. Think about it. Hollywood, foreigners, and the press. But who are we? And you know, what is Hollywood anyway? It's just a bunch of people from other places. I was born and raised and educated in the public schools of New Jersey. Viola was born in a sharecropper's cabin in South Carolina, came up in Central Falls, Rhode Island. Sarah Paulson was born in Florida, raised by a single mom in Brooklyn. Sarah Jessica Parker was one of seven or eight kids from Ohio. Amy Adams was born in Vicenza, Veneto, Italy. And Natalie Portman was born in Jerusalem. Where are their birth certificates? And the beautiful Ruth Nega was born in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, raised in London, in Ireland, I do believe. And she's here nominated for playing a small town girl from Virginia. Ryan Gosling, like all the nicest people, is Canadian. And Dev Patel was born in Kenya, raised in London, and is here for playing an Indian raised in Tasmania. So Hollywood is crawling with outsiders and foreigners. And if we kick them all out, you'll have nothing to watch but football and mixed martial arts, which are not the arts.
Okay. Meryl Streep last night at the Golden Globes. You talk about hyperbole. Who, even Donald Trump, as whacked as he can be, who has ever suggested that we're going to get rid of all foreigners?
He hasn't talked about getting rid of all foreigners. He has gone further than anybody that I can remember in my lifetime to say that we should perhaps have a registry and keep out all Muslims, and talked about massive deportations of Latinos. I can't.
No, he didn't say that. See, there it is.
He did.
No, he didn't.
He has.
No, he didn't. He did not say massive deportation of Latinos, Representative
he's
Mason.
He talked about having a
deportation force. Who are here illegally.
Right, which may be somewhere between 11 and 14 million
I understand,
people.
And now he's backed off that. But what I'm saying is, and here's my point.
Wait. You just said he didn't say that. I just said the policy.
He didn't say Latinos.
No,
he said the people that are here illegally. He's backed off that. He said only people that would commit crimes now. And President Obama's done a nice job of deporting a lot of people. But the overarching point is if the Democrats and progressives in this country keep going down this path of hyperbole and saying things that are literally not true, that a vast swath, I'm not even going to say a majority, but a huge percentage of Americans, when Hillary Clinton called the supporters of Donald Trump a basket of deplorables. This is what people on the two coasts of this country that are liberals think about the flyover country, that they're just a basket of rubes and deplorables and religious nutcases.
But I just can't. I've never disagreed with your perception on an issue more than what you've just said now, Glenn. I can't tell you.
That's really saying something.
It is. I cannot tell you. I have been to a number of community meetings with people in our city who are terrified about what President-elect
because
Trump...
Because of dialogues like this?
No.
Come on.
They're scared because of Meryl Streep's speech? Are you kidding
because
me?
Because you guys keep feeding this narrative that he wants to have a registry of Muslims, or that he wants to deport Latinos. Not illegal aliens, Latinos.
Are the words that have come from his mouth. From his mouth. And what I think is dangerous is when people pretend that he didn't say what he said, or that he doesn't mean what he has said. Because so far, all the indications from the primary onto the general that this guy's going to moderate himself, that he's going to slow down, have proven to be untrue. So you want to talk to the people in this community who now feel like they're being bullied?
You don't feel that Trump has backed off his deportation of 11 million people?
I think he's still talking about having a deportation force, and I think he has alienated and isolated and denigrated immigrants in this country like no one in my lifetime. And so I think a response like that is appropriate. Now, I don't think we should take our political cues from Golden Globe speeches. I think that's overblown to try to project
that. But this is the perception. That's my point. This is the perception of a lot of Americans from people on the left, whether it be from the media or Democratic politicians or entertainment people that are prominent in the entertainment field.
Beyond perception and in the real world, there are real people hurting and worried and concerned about the tone that this president-elect has laid out in this country, particularly people in the Latino community who are worried about being deported, the dreamers who've signed up to be here. And I do think that it is a real concern. The last thing I'll say before we go, though.
Let me ask you, what's your time frame? Can you hang out for a few more minutes after the news? Because I'm up against heartbreak. We will continue with State Representative Corey Mason on the other side.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
It's never boring. WRJN covers the world.
Police officer killed in Florida.
Cold air trying to hold on to our north and warm air surging into the south. For today, mostly cloudy, bit of snow this afternoon, high 27, a little snow tonight, mixing with sleet and freezing rain, so watch for slippery conditions, low 24, then temperatures rising. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and breezy, periods of snow, sleet, and freezing rain, changing to rain in the morning, but in the afternoon, there could be a bit of rain or wet snow continuing into the night, high 38, then falling. Wednesday, cloudy, with a couple of snow showers in the afternoon, ice at night, high 37. Racky Weather. I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. We've got cloudy conditions throughout southeast Wisconsin. It's 24 in Kenosha, 23 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 25 at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and here in Racine at Magnum.media's international headquarters at WRJN. Cloudy skies, 25 degrees. The wind is out of the southwest at 6 miles an hour, producing a wind chill index of 18 degrees. The dew point is at 15, the relative humidity 66%, and the barometric pressure is, it's falling at 30.26. It is 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. Welcome into an early hour of power as we acknowledge that knowledge is indeed power. We get early because when Mike Clemens is away, I get to play early. So we move everything up. We'll have Lou Turner coming in at noon. So keep it tuned right here to WRJN. During this hour of power, we'll hear from the likes as we glean the information from Dr. Phil McGraw. We'll have our award-winning news director, the great Tom Carco, AccuWeather Hall of Famer Elliot Abrams with your weather forecast, a preview and review of the Packers coming up. They'll be taking on the Dallas Cowboys on this Sunday. We'll have Charles Osgood's File, This Day in History, the Rewind feature, and our next installment of the moments and parallels in the history of the United States of America that led to the election of Donald John Trump. And we are revisiting our community conversation with State Representative Corey Mason from the mighty 66th District. So I think we finally figured out what the Democrats have to do.
We did?
No, not at all. But what do the Democrats locally and statewide have to do to accomplish what you guys want in the coming state legislative session?
Well, I mean, again, Republicans have one-party control over everything right now, which means that they're responsible for governing. There's no sort of Democratic boogeyman that they can blame things for not going. So they own the whole thing, so they're responsible for all of it. I mean, I think the real challenge is going to be is our wages remain lower compared to other states and people have a harder time getting ahead, and we continue to have, you know, tens of thousands of jobs that go unfilled because we don't have the skilled workforce to deal with it. Those are the challenges they're going to have to deal with. I think for Democrats, our job is to make sure that we're connecting with people in places like Racine, but also in rural areas that that have just as much to lose or gain based on the politics, and making sure we're connecting not just in cities, but in towns and rural townships and everywhere across the state about how our vision for how to govern is more in tune with the things that they care about than what Republicans are doing to them.
You talked about the fact that the Republicans do have one-party rule again in this coming session in Madison. Your colleague Dave Hansen has suggested that the redistricting coming up in, 2020, mm-hmm. should be changed. Please explain to the beautiful humans the difference that he wants and why that would be perhaps a more balanced approach.
Yeah, what he's proposing is a nonpartisan redistricting proposal. And it's similar to the Iowa model. It's a bill that I've signed on to at least four times in the past. I think this might be the fifth or the sixth time. But the idea is when you let legislators draw these districts, what winds up happening is legislators pick their voters instead of voters picking their legislators. With GIS mapping, they can get so specific about the Democratic or Republican performance right down to the ward level that they wind up cutting districts that are most beneficial to them and not doing a good job of representing the communities that should be picking their elected officials, not the other way around. And so what we've seen, and in Iowa, look, I mean, Republicans just took control of the legislature in Iowa. I mean, if you're a Republican thinking, oh my gosh, what would that mean? You know, it would mean that you have just as much a shot as anybody, but you have to get as close to you can't do what's called cracking and packing into this district, where you sort of pack Democrats into the fewest number of districts as possible and then crack them over wide varieties of districts that they have no real power. So in Wisconsin, for example, in the legislative seats, we get somewhere between 48 and 52% of the vote, yet we hold 35 out of 99 seats. There's something disproportionate going on there. And so you're seeing legislation proposed that would ameliorate that kind of effect. And you're seeing a federal court case going through right now where a three-judge panel just in November said that Wisconsin's maps are unconstitutional. They're so heavily gerrymandering that they're literally, it's what's called the wasted vote theory, where what's happening because of the gerrymandering is people's votes are essentially being wasted and not really measured. So it's an issue that we're going to continue to grapple with. It's part of what makes our politics so skewed.
You guys have absolutely no power at all right now in Madison.
We do not hold the majorities in anywhere, but we still have a voice. We still have the ability to propose legislation like Senator Hansen has on redistricting.
I mean, that stands no chance of passing.
Probably not, but it's not as though when you go to the legislature, you stop. Just because you're in the minority doesn't mean you don't have a job to do, right?
It means there's a difference between passing bills and serving your constituency, isn't there?
There is, but there's also a difference between just because you're in the minority doesn't mean that your job is limited to serving your constituents. There's still the job. I mean, I always say the job is sort of two things. It's the job of being a legislator, and it's the job of being a representative, right? So when you're home, you're in the district, you meet with people, you hear their concerns, you help them navigate through state government. But when you're up there, it's your job to be the legislator. And sometimes that means being the voice of dissent on big issues and providing a different narrative that hopefully more voters will get behind and change the election. The amazing thing about our democracy is every 2 years we get a reset on this, right? And so if people don't like what leadership is doing, they can vote them out of office. If they think I'm out of line with it, they can vote me out of office.
They would never do that.
They're less likely to because my district's been gerrymandered to be much safer for me than it was before redistricting. So it's less of a fair fight, but you at least have that possibility. And I think what Dave Hansen is getting at there and what the courts are now looking at is it really fair and are we disenfranchising people's votes by cutting these districts in such a way where it's not about dealing with changes in population the way the Constitution requires us to every 10 years, but really rigging the system so that one side wins as many seats as possible despite how voters across the state are behaving.
Well, I would think that one of the major hopes for the Democrats in this state is getting a positive ruling by the Supreme Court for the gerrymandering situation.
Right. I mean, I think Republicans are in a real pickle here because if they accede to what the lower court has said and just fix the maps, then it really only affects Wisconsin. If they risk it and run it up to the U.S. Supreme Court,
right,
and it becomes a national standard, then people have said it's somewhere between 16 and 17 states that might have to redraw the map, including some Democratic ones. Apparently Maryland, which is heavily Democratic, is guilty of some of these behaviors as well.
No right? way. Democrats would never
right.
do that.
Well, look, what it says is when you get one-party rule,
exactly,
the temptation to abuse power comes into play, and we've certainly seen that in redistricting. And so you need a fair, unbiased process like they have in Iowa. And I think very soon you're going to find the court saying, look, you're disenfranchising voters and their real desire in terms of who they want representing them by cutting these districts this way.
Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's why we need you guys.
I think you are going to see a strong and dissenting Democratic Party moving forward, trying to talk to all facets of its coalition, whether that's somebody living in the inner city of Racine or somebody working on a farm outside of La Crosse or in Vernon County or wherever else. You're going to hear something bold and consistent and in a way that speaks to everybody.
And on that optimistic note, we will thank Corey Mason, the state representative of the mighty 66th District. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
Last time I'll be on is Barack Obama's president. I do want to thank him for his 8 years as president. I think he's been one of the best presidents in my lifetime.
And that will go without rebuttal, ladies and gentlemen.
You love great music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s? So does Lou Turner. And he plays them for you afternoons here on WRJN.
It's Ask Dr. Phil. Is your diet not working and you're about to give up? Look, diets can fail for a lot of reasons, and maybe you're struggling with cravings or you just feel like you're